Ephesians chapter 1 tonight, we've been talking about glory in the church. The Bible said in Ephesians 3:21, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Let me give you a couple of thoughts to maybe wrap up chapter 1 tonight in the book of Ephesians. How many are you glad you're saved tonight? Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. I'm glad I have a purpose in this world that we live in. I'm glad I have a peace in my heart. This world's upside down. Amen. But I have a peace in my heart. It's going to be okay for the children of God. Amen. You say, preacher, you ever going to get that chip in your hand? Oh, no. You start discussing that, that'll be different than a jab in the shoulder. Somebody say amen. Amen. I'm not taking that mess. Amen. But it's on the way. You can mark her down. Ephesians chapter number 1 tonight. We're going to look at some thoughts here. Verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We're going to go through the rest of the chapter. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, tonight I need your help. God, if I'm going to help anybody, you're going to have to help me. And I pray, Father, tonight that you'd convey the spirit of the study, Lord, to the pulpit tonight, that it might be a blessing, our Father, to your precious people. Lord, we love you and thank you for loving us. We know, our Father, where we'd be without you. We know what we would be without you. Lord Jesus, we know what we could do without you. We could do nothing. God, I pray tonight you'd encourage your people and help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The first thing I want to look at tonight, we're going to look at a couple of things, but then there happens to be a few little sub-points under the things. But anyway, what I want to look at tonight, two things. Number one, Paul's praise for the church at Ephesus. And the second thing I want to look at tonight in detail is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. I believe they're both very important. In Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 15, he said, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. I wrote some things down here that just kind of the Spirit of God was dealing with my heart about. I think, listen, it's good for God's man to stop and thank God for God's people. I think sometimes God's man takes God's people for granted. I think sometimes God's people take God's man for granted. I think sometimes God's people take each other for granted. And I think sometimes husbands take wives for granted and vice versa. Children take mom and dad for granted and vice versa. But I tell you tonight, I believe there's a reason God said in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You want God to show up in your prayer life, you just start thanking him. Amen. Just forget about asking him for a little while for anything, and you just start thanking him for your wife. Start thanking him for your children. Start thanking him, amen, for how he's blessed you and how he's met your needs. I talked to Brother Coulter today. In 2 days, Brother Coulter gave away $1,000, $500 twice. And you say, Pastor, what's wrong with that boy? Well, you say, Pastor, how did he come out on that? He come out $2 to the good. He gave away $1,000, and in 2 days, God gave him $1,002. That was after Sunday night. That's Monday and Tuesday. Some of y'all are laughing, and I know that's a happy laugh, because that's the God we serve. Amen? I'm glad I learned a long time ago, you can't outgive him. You just go to thanking him. Amen? You go to praising him. And Paul said, I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and you loved all the saints, and it caused me to want to pray. It caused me to want to give thanks for you. I read this today, and I thought it was good. Faith and love do not earn us participation in this great work of God. We don't earn a spot in God's purpose and in God's work. But faith and love are evidence that we're participating in that great work of God. I don't know about you tonight, cold chills just went all over me. You know what I'm involved in tonight? I'm involved in the greatest work on the face of this planet. That is the work of my Heavenly Father. Amen. And Paul understood that. And Paul understood this. He couldn't do it without God's precious people. There's a lot of people, they're so independent, they think, well, I can do it with or without. I'm telling you, I'm glad, thank God. Listen, we can depend on Him. We can depend on each other. We need each other, and we're going to need each other more as the day of Christ and His appearing comes closer and closer. The revelation, you remember, watch this now. I think this is something God spoke to my heart about. We need to guard against. We can be loving on one another and thanking God for one another. But if you'll read about the church at Ephesus in the book of the Revelation, they left their first love. Did you hear what I just said? I believe, beloved, listen, if we're not careful, we'll get occupied this away and neglect this away. Our relationship with Him. Say amen. It's good to love one another. It's good to serve one another. But I tell you, don't let that take the place, amen, of that time with Him and loving on Him. I know this. When my grandchildren jump up in my lap, I like it, amen. And when I got one a-kissing on that cheek and one a-kissing on that cheek, well, I'll tell you, when I want to ask you, when's the last time you've been in His lap? When's the last time you've loved on Him? Say amen. I'm telling you, that's needed in this day and hour that we live in. Amen. He loves us. Let's be careful in loving one another that we don't leave our first love. That's the first thing. Paul's praise for the church at Ephesus. I'm glad he had some wonderful things to say about this precious church and these precious people. The second thing I want to look at tonight is Paul's prayer for the church at Ephesus. The Bible said here in verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. You say, Pastor, you think Paul was burdened for the church at Ephesus? Let me just give you this. I think he was burdened for every church that he had ever been to. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Listen to what the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 11. He talked about all the things that he went through. The shipwreck, the beating, the 40 stripes saved one. He talked about perils among countrymen, perils among false brethren, perils of the sea. You remember that? Everywhere Paul turned, he was in trouble. He was facing some kind of tribulation. And this is what he said. Besides all this, the care of all the churches. I'll tell you something about this man of God, the Apostle Paul. He wasn't just carrying one church in his heart. He's carrying every one of them in his heart. I believe he was praying for them all. I believe he was writing, amen, to the church at Rome, the church at Corinthians, the church at Ephesus, the church at Galatia, the church at Philippi, and the church at Thessalonica. The Apostle Paul carried every one of them down in his heart because he loved them, amen. And I will tell you something right now. Like old Saul, you said, you can't hire that. Say amen. You can't hire somebody to love you. Amen. You might hire somebody for a position, but you can't hire, amen, a pastor. You can't hire the heart that this man of God, the Apostle Paul, has, amen, for the people of God. I believe tonight that he wasn't just concerned, Brother Jason, about glory in this church. He wanted God to get glory in every church. I praise the Lord tonight. I've heard somebody say from this pulpit, it might have been you, Brother John, that said, we're not the only church in Kingsport. We're not the only one telling the truth. Amen. And we ought to have a desire in our heart that there be glory in the church everywhere that Jesus is being lifted up and being preached as the only way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Adam Clark said this, I pinned it down, none but a conscientious minister who has at heart the salvation of souls can enter into the apostles' feelings in this place. I'm telling you, beloved, that's something God has to put in a man. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord doing that for the Apostle Paul. Listen to what Samuel said. In 1 Samuel 12 and verse number 20 and following, Samuel said to the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside. For then ye should go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they're vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people. Well, to shout right there, for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Verse 23 said, moreover, as for me, this is what I want you to get. God forbid. Samuel said, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for thee. Oh, but listen, Samuel understood, beloved. Listen, he had a responsibility to God. He had a responsibility to God's people. The Apostle Paul understood he had a responsibility to God, and he had a responsibility to God's people to pray for them. And he's praying. And the Word of God said here, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. He said, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Listen to this, for consider how great things, glory to God, that God hath done for thee. I tell you what's the truth, beloved, tonight, if we just stop and consider how good God's been, it make us want to pray, amen. It make us want to sit in God's lap a little while and love on him, amen. It make us want to share the gospel like God, like Sawyer said, but Mama, I can still tell people the gospel, right? Amen. He's saying, Mama, I don't have to be a preacher. I don't have to be called. I can still tell people the gospel, and the youngin' ain't even saved yet. The key word is yet. I told Miss Eve last night, I said, honey, I might be wrong. I said, but I believe that young gonna be saved before he's 10 years old. He's got a tender heart, amen, and he wants to do something for God. I pray that he is. I tell you tonight, Paul's prayer for the church. You say, Pastor, what was Paul praying? Let me give you some things tonight. Number one, he wanted the church to know him. You say, Pastor, that's so elementary. Then tell me this. Why does the devil fight it so hard? Why does the flesh fight it so hard? Now you just get determined down in your heart. You say, Pastor, what do you mean know him? I've been saved. So had Paul when he wrote this, that I may know him. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I'm telling you, Paul was already a saved man. But I want to give you something tonight. The Lord Jesus is one of them. The better you get to know him, the more you want to know him. Amen. Brother Ralph, the songwriter, said, more about Jesus, amen. More of his saving fullness, see. More of the one that died for me. The Bible said here, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. There's a lot of people that wants wisdom. There's a lot of people that wants revelation. But the whole, beloved, listen, the whole key right here is that it's in the knowledge of him. Unto you he has made wisdom. Amen. I believe tonight that God wants us to know him. Paul's prayer was that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. That's why the Bible, listen to this, God, just give me this. He said, be still and know. What'd he say? I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I don't know about you tonight. One of the hardest things for this preacher to do is be still. You say, Pastor, that surprises me. Well, it may. The Bible said, confess your faults one to another and be you healed. Say amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it's so easy to get so busy. I saw a sign down in Carter's Valley. I really don't agree with it. I know Brother John wouldn't agree with it after what he said to me when he was over here working one day. A sign on the church, a church sign said, Jesus is coming. Look busy. You know what a lot of people are concerned about in life? How they look. That's all they're concerned about. You know what we taught the kids tonight? Listen, when you go for an examination to the hospital and they run that CAT scan or they run that MRI or they run that X-ray, you know what they're doing? They're looking where men can't look. They're looking where you can't even look in the mirror. You know what God wants us to do? God wants us to get in his presence, amen, and look down on the inside and see what's going on there, amen, that I may know him. The Bible said in 1 John 2, verse number 3, hereby do we know that we know him. If we keep his commandments. You take a fella or a woman that says, I know him, and they're living like hell, something's wrong. You know what the Bible said's wrong? They're lying. Listen what the next verse said. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I don't mean you have to be perfect. Say amen. There wasn't but one that was perfect. But I tell you something tonight, if it don't tear you out of the frame when you sin, there's something wrong. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart, beloved, God said that I may know him. In 1 John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God has come. How many knows that tonight? Has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and that we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. You say, Pastor, what about the people that aren't in Jesus Christ? They're in some other God. They're in some dead God. They're in the God, beloved, that didn't rise from the dead. I used to tell the men in prison, we weren't allowed to preach against all the isms. But I'd tell them like this, you can trust somebody that couldn't get yourself up if you want to. I'm just an old country boy. I'm going to trust the one that got himself up to get me up. Say amen. I'm going to go one day by way of the grave. Old Brother Herman Anderson used to say, well, it'll be by way of the clods or by way of the clouds, but I'm going to be with Jesus. Amen. And I appreciate the Lord and his power, his mighty power. A famous writer, Alexander Pope, he wrote, know then thyself, presume not God to scan, the proper study of mankind is man. Charles Spurgeon responded to this statement. He said, it has been said by someone that the proper study of mankind is man. He said, I will not oppose the idea, but I believe it is equally true that the proper study of God's children is God. The proper study of a Christian is the Godhead. The highest sentence of the highest science of a child of God is the name, the nature, the person, the work, and the doings, and the existence of the great God whom we call Father. Hallelujah. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. For philosophy comes to man with the message, know thyself. The gospel meets him with a far more glorious message and a fruitful watchword, know thy God. Amen. God don't want us to spend our lives trying to get to know ourselves. God wants us to spend our lives as his children, getting to know him. Amen. Now listen, not only does God want us to know him, that was Paul's prayer. There'd be glory in the church. I believe that's one of the differences between the modern church and the church of yesteryear. All right, listen to me. I'm not fussing tonight. But, beloved, there were people that walked for miles to church happier and more faithful than people today that have thousands upon thousands of dollar vehicles. Somebody say amen. Most families, two or three of them. And they walked to church. No, it wasn't uphill both ways. I got better sense than that. Say amen. But they walked to church. Some of them by a lantern. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, you say, Pastor, what was the difference? They had time for God. They didn't need a preacher to pump them up. Brother Junior, I'm not against the choir. I'm for it. I love the choir. But they didn't need a choir to pump them up. Honey, they was pumped up when they got there. Amen. They done been in the presence of a holy God. They had done talked to him. He had done talked to them. And, beloved, they came to worship the God of heaven. I believe it's important. God wants us to know. Paul said, I'm going to pray that you know him. Second thing tonight, he said, I'm going to pray that you know hope. Look in verse number 18. The Bible said here, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. You say, Pastor, why are the suicides what they are? Because people don't have any hope. They're without God and without hope in the world. You say, Pastor, are you making fun of them? No. I tell you what, I run across that today. You know what I thought about? The time in my life, Preston, when I was without God and without hope in the world. The McCabe's wrote a song, sang a song. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God would bring me out. He'd bring me from a place of no hope to hope. He'd bring me from a place of on my way to hell to on my way to heaven. bring me from a place of sin to a Savior that would bring me out of that mess. Amen. Oh, beloved friend, no hope. We need. I'm not saying no hope. God wants us to know, K-N-O-W, the hope that we have in us. The Bible said in the book of Titus, it's the blessed hope. Glory to God, it's a blessing to think that before I get home, 519 Amos Chapel Road, before I get home, beloved, I may be home. This world's not our home. We're just passing through. We're God's children. And we have that hope in us. The Bible said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You say, Pastor, can we have revival? I don't know. But I know this. God knows. And I believe we ought to live in that hope. Say amen. You say, Pastor, can our country ever be turned around? I don't know. But God knows. And we ought to live in that hope. We ought to pray in that hope. Say amen. Pastor, will your grandchildren be saved? I don't know, but I want to live in that hope. Amen. I believe that hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Too many people in this world have no hope. Amen. God wants us to know that hope. Now, then to give you this, and I'm done tonight. He wants us not only to know Him, that's what Paul prayed for, and to know hope, but He wants us to know heirs, H-E-I-R-S. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Look with me, if you will, here in the book of Ephesians. The Bible said here, and what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? You see a man praying. He's praying for people. He's praying for power. He's praying that God would have the preeminence in their lives. And here He wants us to know that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with the Lord Jesus. Listen to what the Bible said, beloved, in Ephesians 1:11. The Bible said, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things according to the will, counsel of His will. Many think, beloved, that He's making reference here in Ephesians 1:11. But He's definitely making reference in chapter 1 and verse 18, not to our inheritance, but His. Listen to what the Bible said in Deuteronomy. When the Most High divided their inheritance to the nations, when He separated the sons of Adam, He set the boundaries of the peoples according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion, listen now, is His people. The Lord's portion, the God that made the stars and hung them on nothing and named them, the God that made the moon, the God that made the sun, the God that made the earth, the God that scooped down the dust and breathed into that man's nostrils the breath of life, took a rib out of him and made a woman, that God said, my portion is my people. That's a humbling thought tonight. That the likes of you and I are the portion and the inheritance of the likes of Him. I believe tonight the Bible said the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the place of His inheritance. Knowing our spiritual poverty, we wonder how God can find any inheritance in the saints. Yet God can make riches out of poor men and women, because He invests so much in them. You say, boy, that's a word that's used a lot, ain't it? When Washington, D.C. says invest, look out and hold on to your pocketbook. Say amen. That means they're fixing to spend a bunch of money. That's exactly what it means. But God invested. What did He invest in us? He invested the riches of His love, the riches of His wisdom, the riches of suffering, and the riches of glory. These things accrue to the rich inheritance in the saints. You say, Pastor, give us a couple of verses. How about this? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. How about this? For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How that the Word of God said, He was rich, yet He became poor, that you and I, through his poverty, might be made rich. I don't know about you tonight. That's good stuff right there. One old preacher said it like this. He said, when you leave tonight, please shake my hand. He said, go out this week and tell everybody that you shook hands with a poor boy that's got everything. Can I tell you tonight, if you have Jesus, you have everything. Amen. Your car might be rusted, your tires might be bald, but if you have Jesus, you have everything. Everything. And I'll say it like this, if you don't have him, you really have nothing. You have nothing. This whole world's going to burn up one day after a while. Going to melt with fervent heat. I believe it's going to get so hot the rocks will melt. That's going to take some heat. And I'm going to tell you something tonight. God's going to turn the heat up. I believe that. Listen to what the Bible said. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I don't know about you tonight. When I hear Paul praying for the church, I hear him praising the church, praying that we might know him, that we might know hope, that we might know the heirs. Beloved, I believe tonight, we ought to give him glory. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.